Thanksgiving. I got in a little trouble on Thanksgiving. Not the fact that I ate too much. That's usually a given. That happens every year. But watched a little football, you know, turned on the TV. And the missus looks over, and I got one of those looks, right? You know, guys, what I'm talking about, right? One of those looks. Really? Football on Thanksgiving? I mean, come on. But honey, I just want to see the last 2 minutes. You know, the last 2 minutes of the game, because that's, I mean, in the NFL especially, though, that's when the game is either won or lost. It seems like the majority of the time, those final 2 minutes, if you know, a team is going down for a winning touchdown or a game-tying field goal or something, or the defense has to hold, it happens in the last 2 minutes. In fact, there's even a warning. The NFL has it's called a two-minute warning. So when there's 2 minutes left, they take a break, and the referees tell the coaches and the players that the end is coming, and there's only 2 minutes left. Of course, that takes about 20 minutes usually to play out, but you know, that two-minute warning got its start because there used to not be clocks in the stadium, okay? So players really didn't know how much time was left. The referees would have to keep track of time on their wristwatch. So that's why they would stop play and say there's 2 minutes left. Well, the NFL was smart. They kept that in as a ploy. Now that there's even clocks on all the stadiums, everybody knows how much time is left in the game. But they still keep that two-minute warning in order to say the end is coming. Well, folks, the end is coming for us. The end of the world is coming, and each day that we live, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the world that we know it. We're living, see, now in the, if you will, the final 2 minutes. We're living in the last days, the end times, as many folks call it. The end of the age is coming. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, right away in verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." You see, since Jesus's birth, death, resurrection, really since his ascension into heaven, we are now living in what we call the last days or the end times. And we know that the only thing left is for Jesus to return. He has spoken to us by his Son. In the Old Testament times, in the olden days, he spoke to us through prophets in various ways and different means, but now he has spoken to us by his Son. Well, folks, I want to make you a guarantee this morning. I'm going to guarantee each and every one of you one of two things is going to happen to you in your life. One of two things. No matter if you're male or female, no matter if you're old or young, no matter what your economic status is, it doesn't matter. I'm going to guarantee you one of two things is going to happen to you in your life. Either you will die or Jesus is going to return first. You guys thought I was going to say death and taxes, didn't you? Yeah. No, one of the two things that I can guarantee you will happen is you're either going to die or Jesus will return. Each and every day that we live, we're getting closer to one of those two things that will happen to us in our life. But we don't know when. We don't know when we're going to die, do we? I don't know when I'm going to die. And I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing we don't know exactly when we're going to die. You don't either. There's close expectations sometimes. You know, if you have a terminal illness, the doctors sometimes can sort of predict they've got 2 weeks to live. But I've seen people who have given 2 weeks to live, live 3, 5, 10, 15 years after they were told that. Or sometimes they were told they have 3 weeks to live and they make it 3 days. We don't know when we're going to pass. We don't know when this life, when we're going to take our last breath. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we don't really know when we're going to die. At least, would you want to know when you're going to die? I would not want to know when I'm going to die. And the same is true for Jesus' return. We don't know when that's going to be. Nobody knows. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, a couple of verses after our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus says this very words. He says, about that day or hour, and that's the end time, that's the final day, the day of judgment, if you will, the end of the world. About that day or hour, no one knows. No one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. You know, in his humanity, Jesus doesn't even know, but only the Father. Nobody knows. So those people who have predicted in the past, oh, it was going to happen, you know, in 1947, it's going to happen, all these other, they don't know. It's a guess. In fact, I don't think they should even guess when it's going to be. Those of you who may even remember the year 2000, you know, that was going to be the day. That was going to be the time that Jesus puts an end. The world's going to end then. Well, it wasn't. It's not. So we don't want to take serious those people who say, oh yes, it's going to happen on this day and this year. No. The scriptures are clear. The Bible certainly spells it out that nobody knows that hour or that day. But Jesus does give us some signs, doesn't he? He does give us some warnings about when the end is getting nearer. And we heard those as Joel read them from Matthew chapter 24 this morning. Some of those signs, some of those warnings that the end is getting near, it's going to be a lot of people coming who are deceive the believers. There's going to be some that say, I am the Messiah, follow me. There's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. There's going to be all those things, those natural disasters taking place. There's going to be kingdom rising up against kingdom. And then the end is getting close. That's the beginning of the birth pangs. The end is close when all those things are happening. Now, we look back over 2,000 years, and those things have been happening, haven't they? Since Jesus has ascended into heaven, those things have been occurring. But it seems like they're getting more and more often, aren't they? We hear of earthquakes, and these other natural disasters seem to be occurring at a much greater pace than they have. Maybe Jesus is telling us the end is certainly getting closer than certainly it was 2,000 years ago. So Jesus is going to return. He has given us those signs. He's given us those warnings that he is going to come back. But when he comes back, it's going to be a little different than when the first time he came. The first time he came, you know, at that first Christmas about 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as a little baby, born in Bethlehem in the stable, and then the whole world didn't really even realize it that time. But when Jesus comes back, when he comes for his second advent, his second coming, everybody's going to know it. In fact, the scriptures say that when Jesus comes again, every eye will be able to see him. It's not going to be a secret. It's not going to be unknown to the world. Everybody is going to be able to see that Jesus has returned, that he is coming back. You'll see him in the clouds just as he ascended up into heaven. We'll see Jesus coming back as well. His second coming is going to happen. But we say, well, that's nice. But do we really truly believe that? Do we really truly take it to heart? I mean, we can confess in our creed, oh yes, Jesus is going to return, the resurrection body. Jesus is going to come and judge the living and the dead. Oh yes, we can say it. We can read it in Scripture. But when you think about it, do you really believe it? Do you really believe that we could, after this worship service, maybe during it, we could look up and there Jesus is coming back? It can happen. It's promised to do it. And each and every hour that passes, we're getting closer to that time. Of course, Jesus says he's coming soon. And that was 2,000 years ago. So what he means by soon is it could be today, could be 50,000 years from now. What's he mean by soon? But the signs are there. The warning signs are that Jesus will return, and this time it's not going to be a quiet birth, it's going to be a glorious return when Jesus comes back. But what about those who have died already? What about those who have died trusting in their Savior? What about those who have died in the faith? Those relatives, those friends of ours who had faith in Jesus, what's happening to them now? Well, that's the question that Paul addresses for us in our first reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 says this, "We do not want you to be uninformed." One translation says ignorant. "We don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." You can have hope because you have the assurance that they're not permanently dead, but the New Testament often uses that word asleep, that they're asleep in the Lord, because there's greater things coming. They have, yes, passed through this temporal life here on earth, but they're going to be living forever in heaven. Well, we believe in Christians, the Christian doctrine, the teaching is that when our loved one in the Lord who has faith in Jesus dies, their soul then goes to heaven, immediately goes to heaven. As they take their final breath here on earth, the soul is released and goes to heaven. And the body remains here on earth. The body remains to decay or be cremated here on earth, and the soul lives forever with Jesus in heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, there were two thieves, one on each side of him, and the one came to faith in Jesus. He says, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, remember those words, Luke chapter 24, Jesus says to him, "Truly, truly, I tell you, today you're going to be with me in paradise." After you take your final breath there on the cross, after you die, you're going to be with me in paradise, a soul of incomplete in joy and happiness in heaven. Yeah, this body stays here on earth. This body that's full of disease and shortcomings, we're going to have a new body, a new resurrected body. And on the last day when Jesus returns, we'll have a new glorified body to join our soul in heaven. We believe in the resurrection of the body, a new glorified body. Just as Jesus has risen from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. If we've passed and Jesus returns, we will have a new glorified body, united then with our soul in heaven. And that's why there's evidence certainly that we'll recognize others in heaven. Oh, there's Aunt so-and-so, there's Uncle so-and-so, there's St. Paul. We'll recognize one another because we have this new, this glorified body in heaven. But what if Jesus returns and we're still alive? What if he comes back in the next couple of moments? What about us as believers in the Lord? What's going to happen to us if Jesus comes back immediately? Rapture. Oh, I thought we're in a Lutheran church. What, rapture? Huh? Have you ever heard that term in the Lutheran church, rapture? We actually do. We believe in a rapture. Now, there's a lot of different definitions to that word, okay? Our evangelical brothers and sisters in Christ define that term a little bit different than what we do in the Lutheran church, okay? Rapture for us is, hey, if we're still alive, if Jesus comes back right now, you're going to be raptured home, taken up. You're going to be lifted up. You won't have to go through physical death, but you'll be taken directly home by Jesus. That word is the word's not found in Scripture, but certainly rapture is an ideal in Scripture. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says that those who are still alive will be caught up, will be lifted up with the Lord and join him then in heaven. And that's what we mean by rapture, that we will be lifted up. The word rapture it's from the Latin word, it's rapiere, which means to lift up, to catch up, to be exalted up. From the Greek word, it's where we get our word harpoon. And so something is harpooned, you put you're harpoon something, and then it's lifted up out. And that's what Jesus will do to us if we're still alive when he returns. He'll harpoon us up. He'll rapture us. He'll lift us up. We'll be taken away. We'll pass through death and go right into heaven. St. Paul says we'll be caught up with Jesus in the clouds. Yeah, now our other evangelical Lutheran brothers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, define rapture a little bit different. It's a secret rapture where all of a sudden you'll be taken away and spared from the great tribulation that's to come. But those premillennials maybe are misconstruing and interpreting scriptures maybe in not the correct way. You see, the rapture is that we still have to go through tough times. But the return of Jesus and being caught up and lifted up with the Lord is a simultaneous event. It's a one-time thing. Jesus returns and he takes us believers home to be with him. It's not a separate thing, secret thing that happens where Jesus all of a sudden plucks one away. I hope I'm not in an airplane if that would happen, but that somebody is secretly taken away. You know, that word got popular with the Schofield Bible, John Darby. And then it became real popular with the Jenkins and LaHaye books, Left Behind series. Those Left Behind series really emphasized a rapture. You know, somebody will secretly be taken away, taken home, spared from the tribulation. But the scriptures tell us we need to pick up our crosses and follow him. We're not going to be spared from the tribulation. It's going to be tough. And those things that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24 are going to happen. Those wars, those rumors of wars, people are going to hate you on my account, Jesus says. And we're not going to be secretly raptured, taken away. But if we remain faithful to him, we will have that eternity of glory in heaven. So are we ready? We're living in the final 2 minutes of the game. It's getting closer. Every day you live, you're getting closer to your death. Every day that we live, we're getting closer to the return of Jesus. Are you ready? Are you prepared for that to happen? What do we do? What do we do to prepare? What do we do to be ready? Luther had an interesting statement. They said, Martin, if you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, what are you going to do today? And he says, I'd plant a tree. Sort of a strange answer, isn't it? But what he was saying is, we just live our lives. We live our Christian lives. We live out our normal daily activities. We go on with our lives, showing Christ's love to one another, doing the things that we normally do. We're ready for the end. You're ready for your death. You're ready for Jesus' return because of a simple word called grace. Because of the grace of God. Because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He's totally, completely paid the price for our sin. So no matter what we've done, it's taken away by God, taken away by Jesus' death. And it's interesting, the first verse of chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians talks about grace, the grace of God. And chapter 5, verse 28, at the very end of the book in 1 Thessalonians, talks about, again, the grace of God. At the beginning, grace. At the end, grace. In the middle, grace. The Bible is full of grace, too. From the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation, it's all about God's grace and the gift that he's given us in Jesus Christ. The gift of faith. The gift that we believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So from the very beginning to the very end and all the way in the middle, we're living in the grace of God. So we can rest assured. Oh yes, we're living in the final end. The final 2 minutes. The end is coming. We don't have to be scared. We're prepared. We're ready. We have a loving, gracious God who has died and wiped away all of our sins. You have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You know that if you die or if Jesus returns, you know where you're going. You're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gifts, your grace, your faith that you have given to us in our life, that we know that whether we die or whenever you return, we will live forever with you in glory. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.